Okay, Abba Yisrael, let us continue where we left off from yesterday. Yesterday we discussed Oz Yashir. Yesterday we went through a sefer Mikore Tzila. Today I have another sefer called Kol Yaakov. This sefer is a fantastic sefer. It's written by Ari Spiegel. Ari Spiegel. He lives in Lakewood. It's a collection of vertloch. It's not really a good word on the Perashat Tzila. What?
They stole the title.
The Siddur. Kol Yaakov, the name of the journal, the Kol Yaakov Journal. The Kol Yaakov Journal. It's also the name of the Siddur, the very famous Siddur called the Kol Yaakov Siddur. Okay, but the name of the Siddur is called Kol Yaakov. It's written by Rabbi Ari Spiegel, who lives in Lakewood. It's a beautiful Sefer. It's a fantastic collection of interpretations on the Nusach HaTzvil. It goes through from Moda Ani all the way through. He has Hodu, he has a Halel, and he has the whole Nusach HaTzvil plus a lot more. So of course, Baruch Hashem, he has a nice section on the Shira, on Oz Yashir. So I want to go over with you a few things which caught my attention. Okay, number one, we mentioned yesterday the question, why is Oz Yashir, once already Chazal became the custom to recite Oz Yashir in the middle of Pesukei Dezimra. We discussed yesterday at length, as originally it wasn't said at all. And then it was added, and when it was originally added, it was after Yishtabach, before they began the Brach of Yotzar. And then for some reason it was put before Yishtabach. The problem is, it appears to be a zilzal in the kedusha of the psukim of the Torah. How can you start with psukim from Ksuvim, from Tehillim, and then conclude with psukim from the Torah? Torah is more chashav. Once already we're going to it, we're going already to say psukim from the Torah, we might as well put the psukim of the Torah in the very beginning, because Torah comes before Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Everyone knows you have a Chumash, and you have a Navi, you put the Chumash, put a Chumash until him.
In Rosh Hashanah, you have all those
Chumash. The Tamsukim, the first Tarusim. So what's going on? So we discussed yesterday different answers, but one answer we mentioned yesterday he gives here is Oz, the first Rashi, Oz Yashir. Oz Yashir means Oz then, Kisha'olo Beliba Eloima Shira. Shira is not something you do just when you wake up in the morning, when in the middle of the night. You have to warm up to sing Shira. Shira is something that requires a proper frame of mind. It requires what?
What's from
Tehillim. Tehillim. Psukei Dezimra is all Tehillim. Everything is from David. Okay. There's a little bit of, and that's Tehillim. So Oz Rashi says, Kesha'ola b'liba eloi b'ashira. You don't, when it comes to Shira, song not is not a good translation. Shira has a much greater connotation, a much greater depth than just the simple word song. Shira means Ruach HaKodesh, it means a spirit of song. It represents a spiritual state of being. This doesn't just happen when you wake up in the morning and you're ready to go. You have to reach a certain madrega. Psukei de Zimra, Zimra is not Shira. Psukim of song, Psukei de Zimra is praise, but it's not at the level of Shira. The goal is, through the Psukei de Zimra, a person's mind is opened,
building. Is
built up to a matzav, where now he's roy to say Shira. Just like it says in the first Rashi in Oz Yashir, Oz Kesha'ola B'libai, when a person's heart was filled with love and with emotion, then they sang the Shira. That's what we're doing in Psukei Dezimra. We're going through the steps. Oz Kishnismalu Liboy. When the heart is opened up, then he says that in the Sefer Yeah.
He adds that the reason that he's saying he asks the same question. How come you should say Oz Yashir?
Yeah.
Before he said, but simply that since Yishtabach is the praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you're saying, so he's Oz Yashir, it's connected to Yishtabach in terms of what the thought process of the tefillah is, so they put Oz Yashir at the end because it connects.
Into Yishtabach. Because of the praises.
It okay. Should be early, Yelachayra, like you said.
But since they're connected to Yishtabach, so you put it at the very end. It's another idea. Okay, that's one idea he presents over here. Okay, another idea. Let's go further. And this is I don't have a full understanding of this idea, but it's something to think about. When the Shira begins, we start with the Nusach Vayosha Hashem Bayomahu Eshom Yad. Mitzrayim Vayarishol Mitzrayim Eitzvas Hayom Vayarishol Eshayonah Hidol Asher Asa Hashem B'Mitzrayim. Now here's the key expression. Vayi Ru'u Ha'omes Hashem. They feared Hashem. Vayaminu B'Hashem U'V'Moshe Avdo. They first now came to a Madrega of Emun. Everything is all about Emun. Avraham was the Maimin, and here they have Emun in Moshe Rabbeinu. And when they achieved a Madrega of Emunah, then Oz Yosher Moshe Bnei Yisrael. Problem is, we find that Klal Yisrael already had a moon way back by Yamin Om. When Moshe Rabbeinu first came and said, "Pakol Pakarti Eschem V'Yasu Lachem V'Yamin Om." So, why didn't they sing Shira then? And if a moon is not enough of a reason to sing Shira, why now is that the Torah telling us that was the prerequisite to sing Shira? So I don't have an answer, but the basic answer is, everyone can spin this in a different way. There are two types of emunah. Emunah is the aleph base of Yadus. This is the beginning. Pesach, the Seder, is all about emunah. Emunah is front and center. But when you discuss emunah, everyone says there's two types of emunah. There's the emunah of Vayamein Ha'am, and then there's emunah Vayaminu B'Hashem V'Moshe Avdo. How do you break them apart? So one approach which he tries to say, I don't have clarity in what he really means to say, is that there's emunah in reference to the past, whose focus is the past, and there's emunah whose focus is the future. A person can look back at his whole life, or look back 5 years back, and see how all of these events have come together. Wow, look at that. Why am I here today? I'm here today because all of these hashkocha pratis, I was in the right place at the right time 3 years ago, and then this happened, that happened, and this phone call, that phone call, and so on and so forth. And all of these things came together, and to say that it happened by chance is foolish. The only way all of these events that have happened in the past can have come together is only because there's a divine plan. There's a master plan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge, and that's why I have achieved this success. That type of emunah, there's a recognition that there's a creator and there's a master plan. Okay, now just take that emunah. Okay, what's going to be tomorrow? I don't know. Tomorrow is tomorrow. There's a creator. He definitely was good to me in the past, but I'm not so sure that I'm worthy. This is a healthy response. I'm not sure that I'm worthy that anything special should happen to me in the future. Maybe my future is now just going to go back to chance, happenstance, just.
Maybe belief in the past means they believed in the promises made to their forefathers.
And that's why you, Moshe Rabbeinu, are here to take us out of Egypt. You're here now to do something for us, to get us out of here.
This is the Lamude Nisan. You could read, I wrote it.
Yeah.
What you were just saying.
These two types of emunah. Yeah.
The words that Rabbi Alfred focuses on in this is what it means, Yod HaGdola.
Yeah.
Why Vayaminu B'Hashem, Vayar Yisrael Asa Yod HaGdola. Yad HaGdolah means they finally understood why, for instance, that they had to come. I mean, Vayib Shalach Paro Asambala Nechom Alim Der Ki Karofu. I mean, when they went down to Mitzrayim, they knew it's a short trip. I mean, they remember their history is the Yaakov, and when they went to Ber Yaakov, it was a couple of days. How long did it take them to go? So what was the big trip that they had to go this way? When Vayar Yisrael Meisal Svas Mitzrayim Meisal Svas Hayom, then Vayar Yisrael is a Yod HaGdola.
The Yod HaGdola.
They saw the big picture. That's the difference. The Yod HaGdola was, you see the big picture, why you're putting the pieces together, why all these things had to happen, that they had to go to the Yom Suf, that this is the way God intended the whole picture to end. But what he adds to it is to say very simply that until now, all the Nisim and the flows that happened in Mitzrayim, they just sat by and watched it happen. When they got to the Yam Suf, the difference was nothing happened until Nachshon jumped into the sea. Then they understood that what God wants from them is there's an inyan of Schar V'Onesh. You do something for me, and I do something for you. It's not anymore just a free ride.
Uh-huh.
So they saw the Yod HaGdola. They understood how things are going to work from now on.
Okay.
This is the difference.
It's a difference for the future. So that's the same idea. So he's saying that the emunah here is on a higher level, where the emunah is it's much intensified. where you're able to take the emunah and use it as the tool to go forward into the future. And that's what Shira requires. Shira, Oz Yashir, the entire Shira is written by Lashon Osit. Yashir, Moshe will sing. It's not just that Tchias HaMeisen, there's emunah in Tchias HaMeisen, that's also for the future. The focus is the emunah has matured to a degree where you just don't, wow, I'm impressed. Many people who are not yet religious go to seminars and they blow their minds away. They show them these amazing things and they're very inspired. And they walk out the door and business as usual. I wasn't firm when I walked in and I'm not firm when I walk out. And what about the lecture? What about the seminar? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. There's a God, there's everything. How does it affect me? Business as usual. It doesn't affect me. I can't change my lifestyle. I'm a believer, but that belief does not translate into a change in lifestyle. The emunah here at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf intensified to a degree where it was a change in their lifestyle. They now were going to behave and act differently in the future than just a bit. So this is a very important yisod. In the Shira, we come to Vayaminu Ba'ashem Moshe Avdo. This is a new emunah building upon the Vayamin Am back in the beginning of Parashas Shemos. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay. Why does it say in the Shu, Oz Yashir Moshe, Vesa Shu Lashem Bayom, Shu Hazos Lashem Lemar, Kigo'o'o'o? Wait, so the question is, Oz Yashir, Oz, why is it, let's go back, Vayosha Hashem Bayom Hahu. Okay, let's go back to the very beginning. Before the Shira begins, Hashem saved by Yom Ha. First of all, when did this take place? This took place on the seventh day of Pesach, which was the 21st day of Nisan. Why does the pasuk have to say by Yom Ha'hu? If the pasuk would not have said by Yom Ha'hu, it would have been Vayosha Hashem Es Yisrael Miyad Mitzrayim. Why is Hu? So the Medrash says here something fascinating. This was the same day that Moshe Rabbeinu was thrown into the water. It's on the same day that Moshe, when he was born, Moshe was born three months premature.
Doesn't work. It's only 5 weeks later.
So there's a machloikis. Okay, in Echanami. Let me see, read you what it says here. Okay, there are conflicting midrashim. Osayom. Chaf Aleph Nisan. Okay, Nechanami, this is a medrash. Where is this?
I'll tell you what.
Meloi Ha'omer.
Can I interject over there?
Yeah, sure.
That there were two. The way they try to backtrack the calendar is to say that there were two others that year, and he was another Rishon.
So that's how it works out.
Not 6 weeks, but 10 weeks. It was in the third month, and so that's when they said.
They want to manipulate the calendar to make it come out.
Okay. Background on what you said.
So this is what the medrash is. The Motev Meloy HaOmer. It's a Sefer Kadmon based on the medrash, on a medrash, that the reason why it says Bayom Ahu on the same day that the Moshiach Shel Yisrael was thrown into the water, Klal Yisrael, the product of the Moshiach Shel Yisrael, was also entered into the water and it was miraculously saved. That's a reference to Bible. Now here's a good vart for Rav Michal. Michal's going to like this vart. Why does it say, Vayosh Hashem Vayem Ushom Miyam Shem Vayari Sholis Mitzrayim Eislas and Vayari, let me get the entire Pasuk. The Pasuk says, L'chol Chel Paro Haboim, in the middle of the Shira, L'chol Chel Paro Haboim Achareihem Bayom Lo Nishar Bohem Ad Echot. Question is, why does it say this expression, Haboim Achareihem? That's super obvious. L'chol Chel Paro, the entire army of Paro. The Pasuk could have said, L'chol Chel Paro Bayom Lo Nishar Bohem Ad Echot. The words Haboim Achareihem appear to be superfluous. It is simple. Of course, the army was chasing after the Jewish people. So here he says some of the Maril Diskin, a Murdik of art. The Maril Diskin was way ahead of his times. When Yetzias Mitzrayim happened, so a picture was happening, it was a big announcement, they have to put it in the term of 21st century, people were tweeting. As the Egyptians were in their tanks, chasing in their high-tech vehicles, chasing after the Jewish people on their horse and buggy, they were tweeting, we're chasing after the Jewish people, we're going to wipe them out. Who was the first one to arrive on the scene? Do you remember when Saddam Hussein fell? So I once saw an analysis when they would chop down the statue. So all the people that were standing around, 85% of them were from the media. There was one guy that was chopping away with an axe on the statue, and then there were a couple of 3-4 people that were watching, and then there were like 50 people. Oh, so you got the impression when you watched the video, when you saw this, is that the whole crowd is there to watch the downfall of all the Iraqi citizens. They weren't Iraqi citizens. They were maybe 3% were Iraqi. Everyone else was from the media. Everyone had a representative there taking notes, taking pictures. And they actually showed what?
Engineering unit to
bring it in.
The pulling wasn't good enough.
There's an amazing clip where they actually showed one by one, and they did with those old graphics, and they grayed out areas. Each person, they identified who he was and who he represented. CNN, Fox, and this place, and that one, Al Jazeera, everyone was there watching. The media was there. So in the time of Mitzrayim, Meryl Diskin suggests it was the same thing. When Yetzias Mitzrayim took place, Paro came with 600 chariots and the whole Chel Paro, and guess who else showed up to take pictures? The media came with all their cameras, the cameramen, and they were all there watching. We're going to see the big event now. The Jewish people didn't come to an end. So you would think the laws of war is that when Hashem would wipe out the Egyptians, okay, so the Egyptians, they're the end of their enemy, but the media, they'll go home. No. The Pasuk says, L'chol chel Paro, the whole army of Paro. And you know who else was destroyed?
The Arab.
Haboim acharehem. The media.
Oh.
The media. Bayom lo nishar bohem ad echad. You come to watch, to take pictures, take videos, and to go distort the news. What are you going to go say? You're going to go back and you're going to write, the Egyptians were victimized. The Jewish people were the aggressors. They manipulated the sea to cause them to drown. It was unfair. They occupied
so
the Jewish.
Didn't find any evidence.
Any evidence? Exactly. That's what he says.
They have now evidence. They have that show that they found where they say the Jews crossed on where I mentioned.
No. Yeah.
They have underneath. It's full of seaweed and with plankton that's all around it. But you could see it's the shape of wheels, from chariot wheels. They have the pictures of it. They show they're covered, but they don't want to disturb it, but it's definitely wheels there. They see it's steel. I mean, it's not steel, but it's iron. It's metal.
Wow.
And metal over wood. The x-rays take pictures of it, but they're not bringing it up. What they pulled, they went for a place that would be a large enough beachhead where you could fit a couple of million people.
Sure.
It's crossing into what's today Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, okay.
All right, that's where it is. So
that
it shows exactly the way it does, where they came out from a narrow pass into a wide open beach, where it would be large enough to cross, what I mentioned to you. And they have underwater pictures they showed. I saw on the film, not on television, it was on the internet. They showed the pictures of the wheel, the chariot wheels. What appears to be chariots.
The army came after the Egyptian army, but there were no civilians that came after. Besides, it's supposedly immediate.
600.
Any civilian could have come.
Well, some of us would say that there were civilians.
It was all
the everybody was destroyed.
The 600 guys.
Only one person.
Who were the 600 guys?
Okay, let's go to another idea. We're out of time. Let's go to another idea. Okay, this is a very simple idea that he quotes the name of Chaim Knievsky, Shlita. Ze keli v'anveyu. This is my God, and I will glorify Him. This pasuk is the source for a very basic principle in halacha, hiddur mitzvah. Every time we do a mitzvah, we should strive to do it in the most beautiful way possible. So someone asked Chaim Knievsky, why is this halacha rooted in Kriyas Yamsuf? What was there about Kriyas Yamsuf that was Mehudar? The Yam split, the Egyptians drowned, the Jews were saved. You would not expect to find, to learn the halach of Hidr Mitzvah in Kriyas Yamsuf. So he gave a very interesting answer. He says the Hidr Mitzvah of the Hidr that's found in Kriyas Yamsuf is the Hamayim Lohem Choyma Miminam Umisimolam. It was not necessary at Kriyas Yamsuf for the wall to stand as a barrier. It would have been sufficient if the Yam would have split and they would have gone through. Hashem went through the extra effort of beautifying the experience and providing the people with a sense of a security, protection, and good feeling with the wall, the choyma on the right and on the left. That was Hashem's keli v'anveyu hidur in the Ma'isa Kriyas Yamsuf, and therefore when we come to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we come to reciprocate by the kind of the mitzvahs, we also do it with Hidr of Zeh Keli down there. This is a very interesting idea. It's the only other part of the Shira that we sing, that's really that part of the Shira. The Amayim Lam Chamon, the minig is that the Balkari, he sings that, he chants that with the niggun of the Nusach, Mininah, and there's different, by the way, Derech Agav, they're different Minhagim. Right. It says it twice. Some do it the second, what I've brought up with, do the second one you do, right. And the first one you don't. But some people, they do the first, the Dafka, we're going to sort of down this. The first one now was shot, because Choyim and Chema, because the second one, it's right. Missing the Vav, Avodah Zara, so you don't sing the second one. The first one that doesn't have a reference
but
to the
Avodah Zara. Says what the wall represented. It was, if you're going to stop the water from flowing, you can't stop the water cycle from the whole world, all the water.
But the whole thing wasn't.
So it calculates how many times, Sheish Mios Elef Ragli, Agvorim Levad Mitah. The Gemara makes a computation of how many hours it might take them to go, and the water flowing at a certain speed, how high the wall of water would have to have been, thousands of feet in the air, and that's why Shamu Abim Yugosu.
Okay.
That's Gemara Sota.
Okay, let's go to another idea. There's a machlekes in the Gemara when Klal Yisrael respond to the Shira. How exactly did they respond? There are two major opinions in the Gemara. One opinion is the Moshe Rabbeinu said each pasuk, and they responded with the words Ashir La Hashem Ki Go O Go. They only responded with the stand with the refrain. They did not repeat the entire Shira Mila B'Mila. Moshe Rabbeinu machlekes in the Gemara. It's machlekes in the Gemara. Machlekes is between in the Mishnah. Sota. The first opinion is Rabbi Nechemia says every single person said word for word. Every single person. Moshe said Oz, they said Oz. Moshe, Yashir, they said Yashir. They said it together with Moshe Rabbeinu. But the other opinion in the Gemara, who's the Rabbanon? Rabbi Kiva, that Moshe said the pasuk, and then the people respond. But one opinion of the Gemara is that Moshe said the pasuk, and they responded, ki go, Ashir la Hashem ki go o go. So the Chasam Sofer is a beautiful explanation. He says, Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim, and it's big in the pasuk that the elite, the tzaddikim, the people who were Bali Madrega, Ruach HaKodesh, they were able to be mechavin the Shira together with Moshe. As Moshe Rabbeinu sang the Shira, they also sang the Shira Mila B'Mila. But the Hamoinam, the average person that's not in this Madrega, they responded if each pasuk with the words Ashur La Hashem Ki Go Ogo. And this is Meduyik in the pasuk. Oz Yashir Moshe Uvnei Yisrael. Who are the Bnei Yisrael? The word Yisrael is a kind of the tzaddikim. Oz Yashir Moshe Uvnei Yisrael together. Es Hashir Hazos La Hashem Vayoimru, and they said to the Vayoimru to the Hamoinam. They said to the audience, to the people, to the average person that was not a person that in Ruach HaKodesh, Lamar to respond, to repeat after each pasuk of the Shira, Ashir La Hashem Ki Go O Go. So in the pasuk itself, it's merumas both opinions of the Gemara. Again, machlokes the Gemara between the Rabbanan and between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Nechemia. Did they say the pasuk respond with the refrain Ashir La Hashem Ki Go O Go? Do they say Mila B'Mila? Along comes the Chasam Sefer and says Elu V'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. The tzaddikim, what Ruach HaKodesh, they were able to mechav in the Shul with Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Ahamoinam, they did not have Ruach HaKodesh, and they didn't have Sidurim, so they had to respond Ashir La Hashem Ki Go O Go. It's in the pasuk. Oz Yashir Moshe Uvenei Bnei Yisrael, the tzaddikim, es hashira hazos laHashem, vayomru, and they told the Hamoinam, lemar, that when we finish a pasuk, you should respond with the words, hashira laHashem ki go. This is the verse from the Chasam Sefer. Okay, let's go to another vart. Okay, let me jump ahead to something. We're running out of time. I want to jump ahead to something. Okay, Zekeh, we'll reverse this short thing. This is an interesting idea. I'll read you word what it says here. We say in the Shira, Elokei Avi V'aro Mimenu. I'll read you word what it says here, if it has any meaning. Hataras Gavriel, who is Ravelvul Margolius Satsa. Anyone have said that and sound familiar to you? Ravelvul Margolius. I do not know who this is, the name of a Sefer. It seems like it's a very authoritative Sefer. Kosa B'Shem Aviv Hagoin Hamekubul Rabbi Yitzchak Zatzal, sheyesh loy kabbalah me'avoy sav. He has the following tradition: shebishosh sheyomar pasuk zeh b'psukei dezimra. When you say this pasuk every day, ashiru laHashem ki go. I mean, when you say the pasuk of Elokei Avi va'arom menu, the God of my father, and I will glorify Him. Shebishosh sheyomar pasuk zeh b'psukei dezimra yichavein es aviv. You should think about your own father. Don't think about it, okay? You just think about it, who knows? Think about some ancient people on some video you saw on YouTube. you think about your own father. Elokei Avi, my father, who in turn was Mekabel from his father. You should in your mind think directly how it relates to you, how you trace your lineage the best that you possibly can while you're saying this pasuk. You think about your father. You go back to. But here he's saying it more personal. There you're going back to the start. Here he's saying start backwards. Start with yourself. Start with your own father and your grandfather, your great grandfather, and so on and so forth. You might be part of them. Okay, let's go to the next. Yeah?
How is the Moshe Rabbeinu seeing here?
Yeah, must be. Amram was the Gadol Hador. We don't give Amram the credit he deserves. Amram was the Gadol Hador for Klal Yisrael in the most difficult time. And the most difficult Kufa during the time of the Shibud, he was the Gadol Hador. Moshe came later for the safe. Moshe, Lahavdil Elif Avdi Avdalis, was like Riviera.
Like what?
Riviera. Rivera. Rivera?
Closer. What are you talking about?
Closer. The Yankees. You don't know baseball? Mario Riviera. Yeah, retired, but in the good old days. Okay, let's go further. Hashem ish milchama Hashem shema. What does this pasuk mean? Quick, show you. Hashem ish milchama. What? How do you know the expression? In love and war, there are no. What's the expression?
All's fair in love.
All's fair in love and war.
Football.
Okay, all's fair. What does that mean? All's fair in love and war. What does that mean?
What Arthur Daly did. Yeah.
All's fair in love and war. What does that basically mean? You take no prisoners. It's too bad. If there's someone gets hurt, sorry, buddy. This is war. Right. This is shidduchim. You get hurt.
But that's the Mishnah said. You send a shliach to kill somebody, and he takes his own money, and he's a shliach to.
Okay, no, we're talking about when a person in a relationship, and you go out with the girl. You go out with the girl. In modern terms, it means in modern day, it means you go out with the girl 20 times, and then you say, sorry, after 20 dates, you're just not for me, and she's chalashing to marry him, or the other way around, and one dumps the other. So that person wants and has the expectation of going out 20 times is so great. And when the other party says no, gives you a no at the very end, it's very bitter. It's a very bitter pill to swallow. It's a very bitter. So what is the expression? That's how it goes. In all's fair in love and war. Go out to battle and you shoot someone. Sorry, buddy. You're dead. I can't help you. You can't take the heat. Go into the kitchen. Stay out of the kitchen. That's the way the world looks at these two things. Hashem, here it's Muhammad, the pasuk tells us that may be true for human beings, all sphere of love and war. But by Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem ish milchama, Hashem also goes to war, but yet Hashem is different. Hashem Shemo. Hashem is Yudkei Vavkei. Hashem in war acts with Rachamim. Hashem has Rachmanis. You only get what you really deserve. And if you don't deserve, you don't get it. And even when Hashem is cruel to one, he has Rachman to someone else. Hashem's Milchama is executed with Rachanim. This is a midah that is 100% unique to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, next part. Let me jump ahead to something. Okay, I want to jump into something that's a little bit more elaborate, and then maybe we'll conclude with that. Let's see how much time. Okay, this part I found to be amazing. It's an amazing chiddush to say. It's shocking. And I think it appears that he's saying this on his own. I'm going to read you the whole thing. Read you the Medrash, and tell you what the Mashal says, and then tell you what he says. Okay, here we go. Let me just find it. Hashem Yimloch, where is it over here? I can't find it. Gotta find it. Okay, it's a Medrash. The Medrash talks about... Let me find it. To the aim of the aim of Harnachaloscha. Where is it here? Oh, here it is. Okay. The pasuk says, "To the aim of the sito aim of Harnachaloscha, Hashem will bring and will plant the Jewish people in His holy in His Harnachaloscha." Okay, I'm reading you the Gemara. So Gemara, we'll just do this one. It's out of time. We'll just do this very quickly. Here's the Gemara. Ksubis staf samach beis. Rebbe is Iasikle Librei Bei Rabbi Yossi Ben Zimra. Rabbeinu HaKadosh had a son, and he was Meshadech his son to the daughter of Rabbi Yossi Ben Zimra. Okay? Shiluch. Mazel tov. Got engaged. Tom the Gemara, they had Erison, get married right away, and then as soon as a year later. So he told his son, listen, you got Erison, everything's set to go, go back to Koilel. Go back to Beis Medrash, and 1 year from now, we'll get ready for the chasen. A year from now, you'll take her in. So the son said, don't I get to see the girl a whole year? Don't you get, today, Kala comes every Shabbos. But in those days, does the chasen get to see the boy, the girl? So Paskule, they set aside Trey, Tarte Srei Shnin, Tarte Lemezal Bebe Rav. No, it's even worse. 12 years. I guess he was a child. That's what it says. Pasku shachosim yilmad zferish gemara. It's shocking what it says. Be yeshiva yud bei shana koydim hanesuin. He must have got engaged when he was probably 5 years old, maybe 10 years old, whatever it was. Doesn't say how old he was.
Not really, he couldn't do Erison.
Okay, whatever it was then. Okay, maybe so then, and maybe Echnami was used to bar mitzvah. I don't know what it means. It says here that the decision was made. They got engaged. Could be that Erison. They would conclude the marriage in 12 years, and during those 12 years, this fine young man would sit in Kollel and learn. That's what it says. Now, during that time, the boy said, can I at least see what she looks like? Give me a picture of the girl. Let me at least see what the girl looks like. Who am I going to marry? I have something to look forward to. 12 years. A long time. Achalfa kane. Okay. I can't, like, you see the girl. It's not sneeze, but, you'll go here. She'll be going to the store, and you'll be able to see who she is. Derech agaf. They passed her in front of him. Achalfa kane. So he came back to his father and said, I'm chalishing to marry her. I can't wait 12 years. I saw her. I want to marry her sooner than 12 years. Achal v'kamei omar lohu. So he said to his father, Nehevei shishnin. 12 years is too long. After he saw who the kala was, I don't want to wait 12 years. I want to marry her. Okay, 6 years. Then it happened. He got to see her a second time. And his love grew stronger. Ichal fuah kamei odapa. Omar luhu ikonis. I want to marry her now. I don't want to even wait 6 years. Immediately. So, okay, fine. Vahadar, then I'll go learn. So, okay, fine. You want to marry her now, you can marry her now. But the boy was embarrassed. He was embarrassed because it shows that he can't control himself. The taiva is so great. He's supposed to wait 12 years, and he's out of control. He has to go marry her right away. So he was ashamed to go to his father to show, because whatever, he was ashamed. So the father said to his son, Rebbe says, don't be ashamed. The midah that you have shown is the midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amalei b'ni, das koimach yeshbach, you have the das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's exactly what happened by Yitzias Mitzrayim, by Kriyas Yamsam. It's the pasuk in the Shira. What was the pasuk? May Korach Sivit says, what does it say in the pasuk? Tivi emo, v'sito emo. It says, Hashem will bring you, and will plant you, means the place of your dwelling, Paalta Hashem. Shivtacha refers to the base Hamikdash. So Hashem's original plan was there would be no Mishkan, no base Hamikdash until they come into Eretz Yisrael. That was plan A. I'm taking you out of Mitzrayim, I'm going to give you the Torah, you're going to be in the desert, you're going to first come into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to conquer, you're going to divide, and then for the very, very first time, you're going to build the Beis HaMikdash. You're going to build what will be the Mishkan of the Beis HaMikdash. And then what happened? Hashem said, my love for you is so great, I can't wait 40 years. I can't wait until you conquer and divide the land. I'm going to give you the Mishkan now, immediately, when you're still in the desert. You'll have a Mishkan, which is the equivalent to the Beis HaMikdash. So you're the same thing. You wanted, you saw this girl, you really, the plan was to wait 12 years, a period of time, and now you can't control yourself, you want to be married to her immediately, so you can get married to her right away. That's exactly what happened between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, so it's no big deal that the same thing repeats itself for you and your Kala. Okay, that's the Gemara. Okay, similar Gemara, Rabbeinu HaKadosh has a son who wants to get married 12 years, he sees the girl to terms, he wants to marry right away. His father says, don't worry, this is exactly what happened in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Plan A was to wait to come to the Beis HaMikdash. Plan B was you got to go right away. Masha's question is, doesn't make sense. We all know the reason why Hashem gave Klal Yisrael the Mishkan was a chapara for the Chet HaEgel. The reason why, what? The plan would have been true, but because it was an emergency because we have sin. The only way we can get kapar was immediate the Mishkan. Now, to make a long story short, he says here an incredible chiddush. This mechaber, based upon the Marsha, a whole new pshat in the Gemara, which is shocking. When the boy passed, when they passed the girl before the boy, so we assume that the reason why he wanted to shorten the chasn, the date for the wedding, was because the chasan could not wait. The chasan's love for the girl was so great, but the girl, see you later, buddy. You can go sit for 12 years, I'll see you after 12 years. It's not, because the Gemara, we put these two, it's just the opposite. The boy, the chasan, adaraba, I don't mind. I'll wait 12 years. I don't have to have the daiga of having a wife for 12 years to support a family. But when he saw the kala, he saw that she had tsar. That she has to wait 12 years to marry him. What is she going to do for 12 years? She was chalashing to be married. All right, I don't want to be mitzaryu. I'll marry you in 6 years. Then when he saw her again, he realized even 6 years was too much tsar for the kala to wait. So this is what it means, das. When you want to go match up these two Mamre Chazal, where there's absolutely no contradiction, who is the kala between the Kodesh Baruch Hu, who is the chosan? Who is the kala? Klal Yisrael. Who is the one that needed the Mishkan? Who needed the Mishkan because of an emergency? Klal Yisrael needed the Mishkan. Hashem could wait. No big deal. Klal Yisrael worshipped the Egel, and they were in a desperate situation for Kapara. They needed the Mishkan for their Kapara. So Hashem says, my Kala, you have so much tsar, you know what? We'll accelerate the process. Instead of waiting 12 years, we'll do it immediately. We'll do it right away. That's the mashal. So this mechaber, he's an incredible thing when he's doing it. As I speak, he's taking the Gemara, he's saying, Mamish Pum Fakert. The average person learns the Gemara, Kongam Ksumas, tell us something I can share. The average person learns the Gemara and it says the reason why they accelerated the day for the Chasna was because the Choson Etzar. That's not what it says in Chazal, according to the Marsha, according to Chazal. The reason why Kodesh Baruch Baruch Hu accelerated the chasana is because the kala was the same reason why Rabbeinu HaKadosh accelerated the chasana was because the kala was bitzar. It totally changes the dynamics of marriage. It's a very good word for a Sheva Brachas. Who's the one who's in the driver's seat? Is it the chasa or is it the kala? The kala is the one. The chasana has to accommodate the rotzoin of the kala.
Someone said, you suffer zavul. What does zavul have to work? Zavul's wife?
Zavul's wife work. Ooh.